Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Predator's Ball by Connie Bruck is a landmark work of financial reporting that traces how Drexel Burnham Lambert and its star banker Michael Milken helped popularize junk bonds and, in the process, reshaped American capitalism in the 1980s. Written with the pace of investigative narrative and the rigor of a business history, the book explains how high-yield debt moved from a niche instrument to the fuel for leveraged buyouts, hostile takeovers, and a new class of dealmakers. Bruck follows the money and the incentives inside Wall Street firms, law offices, and corporate boardrooms, showing how innovation and ambition blurred into rule-bending and, at times, outright misconduct. Without relying on technical jargon, the story maps the culture that made aggressive financing feel normal and even admirable. The result is both a portrait of an era and a cautionary study of how markets, regulation, and human behavior interact when fortunes can be made quickly. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how junk bonds became a financial revolution. A central topic of the book is the transformation of high-yield bonds from a disfavored corner of the market into the engine of major corporate deals. Bruck explains the basic logic. Bonds issued by lower-rated companies pay higher interest, and, in a growing economy, that extra yield can look attractive to investors willing to accept more risk. Drexel Burnham amplified this idea by building distribution, research, and a sales force dedicated to convincing institutions that diversified portfolios of these securities could be rational investments. The book connects the innovation to its consequences, showing how a deeper market for risky debt changed what corporate control meant. Companies that once seemed untouchable could now be targeted because financing could be assembled quickly, often with borrowed money layered on borrowed money. This shift encouraged a more transactional view of businesses, emphasizing deal structure and short-term returns. By framing junk bonds as both a tool and a narrative, the book helps readers see how financial products spread not only through math, but also through persuasion, prestige, and momentum. Secondly, Drexel Burnham and the Power of an Internal Empire. Another key theme is how Drexel Burnham Lambert evolved into a firm whose identity and earnings became tightly bound to one dominant franchise. Bruck portrays the organization as a place where the high-yield department achieved extraordinary influence, shaping the firm's culture, priorities, and tolerance for risk. The book highlights how compensation systems, status hierarchies, and competitive pressure can create an internal empire that resists restraint even when warning signs appear. PA quote, "In this environment, relationships with issuers, investors, and deal participants became as valuable as the securities themselves, because access to capital was the scarce resource everyone wanted." The narrative also shows how a firm's dependence on a booming business line can distort decision-making. When success is measured by deal flow and market share, there is a temptation to push boundaries, interpret rules aggressively, and treat regulators as obstacles rather than safeguards. By focusing on people, not just balance sheets, the book clarifies how institutional incentives can turn financial ingenuity into systemic vulnerability. Thirdly, Michael Milken and the machinery of dealmaking. The book devotes major attention to Michael Milken as both a visionary market builder and a figure whose methods attracted intense scrutiny. Bruck explores the qualities that made him unusually effective: deep knowledge of the bond market, relentless work habits, and an ability to coordinate issuers and investors into a self-reinforcing network. But the story also examines how concentrated power can undermine oversight. When a single player becomes central to financing, information, and access, the market begins to orbit that person's priorities. Bruck describes a deal ecosystem in which loyalties, reciprocal favors, and reputation could substitute for formal transparency. Readers see how high-stakes finance is not only about price and probability, but also about influence and control over distribution channels. The narrative raises questions about what counts as legitimate market-making versus manipulation, and how legal lines can be approached gradually rather than crossed in one dramatic act. This topic is less a biography than an anatomy of how modern financial dominance is constructed and defended. Fourthly, the Predator's Ball era and the rise of corporate rating. Bruck uses the era's signature events and personalities to explain why 1980s takeovers felt like a cultural shift, not merely a business trend. The so-called predators were financiers and raiders who used leverage, speed, and surprise to challenge corporate leadership, often arguing they were disciplining inefficient management. The book shows how junk bond financing enabled bids that would have been impossible under earlier capital constraints, and how that availability changed corporate behavior even for companies not directly targeted. Boards became more defensive, executives pursued restructuring to preempt attacks, and employees and communities faced instability when balance sheets were loaded with debt. This topic emphasizes the moral ambiguity of the period. Some deals arguably unlocked value and forced accountability, while others rewarded extraction and short-term gain. By connecting parties across the ecosystem, bankers, lawyers, arbitrageurs, and executives, Bruck demonstrates that corporate rating was not a lone wolf story but a coordinated industry. The resulting portrait helps readers understand how market tools can reshape social norms around ownership and responsibility. Lastly, regulation, scandal, and the collapse of a model. A final major topic is how legal and regulatory pressure built over time and ultimately contributed to the unraveling of Drexel and the broader junk bond boom. Bruck traces how investigations, enforcement actions, and reputational shocks can cascade through a financial institution that depends on confidence and liquidity. The book highlights the gap between what markets reward in the short run and what law and ethics demand in the long run. As scrutiny intensified, behaviors once treated as aggressive competitiveness began to look like systemic misconduct, and counterparties became less willing to take risk alongside Drexel. This topic also explores the fragility of finance built on leverage and continuous deal flow. When conditions change, a structure that seems self-sustaining can become self-defeating, with falling trust leading to reduced access to capital, which then accelerates decline. Bruck's account offers a practical lens on why enforcement matters, not as abstract punishment, but as a force that shapes incentives and market architecture. The lesson is not simply that wrongdoing is bad, but that unchecked concentration and opacity can destabilize whole markets. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want to understand how modern Wall Street power is built, especially students of business, law, economics, journalism, and anyone curious about the 1980s takeover wave. It also fits investors and executives who want a grounded view of how incentives inside firms and markets can push smart people toward dangerous choices. The benefit is practical. Readers come away with a sharper sense of how financial innovations spread, how leverage changes behavior, and how reputation and access can become a hidden currency. Those insights translate directly to interpreting later booms and busts, from credit bubbles to private equity cycles. Compared to many books on high finance that either glamorize dealmaking or reduce it to technical detail, Bruck's strength is balance and reporting. She connects personalities, institutions, and regulatory dynamics in a way that makes the story readable while still explaining cause and effect. That combination makes it worth buying if you want more than a morality tale or a market primer. It is a clear, enduring case study of how ambition, capital, and weak guardrails can reshape an economy. If you would like to support Connie Bruck, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.